Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Network. My name is Darren Chapman. How are you, people? How's everybody doing? We are broadcasting live out of here in Philadelphia, where I'm at, which not too long ago was bringing down some very heavy snow. Looks like it has lightened up since then. So for those of you folks in the city where I'm at, be careful. It's not exactly your vacation type weather out there, so to speak. We're going to be doing a broadcast tonight, and I'm trying to look for. I had this link because I normally do the bulletins in the beginning of the broadcast, and I had this link that I wanted to give out some information on, but I can't seem to find it. So, it was for those of you here in Philly and surrounding counties. Okay, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Okay, maybe during the commercial break, if we have one, I can go ahead and try to find this here. Normally, yeah, I'm on Facebook, right? So we're on Facebook and Twitter, right? So people have been dogging me out all week long about this post that I put up. I did this post on bastard children, right? Boy. I did this post on bastard children, right? And you know, folks, I don't know whether people just think I'm making this stuff up or I think a lot of people just don't read the word enough to know where these things are. And, you know, we talk about taboo topics and a lot of different topics, right? So I put this post up about how it may not be where you're at, but I live in the city, right? And there's a lot of this in the city. And I'm not dogging out women. I'm not dogging out men. I'm just painting a fact. That's all it is. Being as though women are the ones who bear children, there seems to be an ever increasing amount of women, especially young women, who are having children out of wedlock, right? Right? For whatever reason, right? Just fathers are just like nowhere to be found. But all and all you see is a whole bunch of females with children, right? Okay. And, you know, we send cards and we do parties and, you know, because children are a blessing. I have a child myself. Children are a blessing. We know this. But the Bible, here we go. But the Bible says that a child born out of wedlock is a bastard child. This is a bastard child. Children born out of wedlock. That's the name for them. They're bastard children. Now you have to understand. You have to understand what is being said here, because if you just focus on that word and you don't understand for what reason, then you're not going to see them as a gift anymore. Okay, so this is what it is. And people posted, boy, the females were ripping me on Facebook left and right all week long. Matter of fact, I had to delete some of them because they were just getting a little bit too. I mean, I don't mind people expressing opinions, but, I mean, just don't take it too far, right? Which is a lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight regarding tonight's broadcast. Watch your mouth, brother and sister, okay? So, you know, people were saying, like, I disagree, and children are not, you know, bastards, and this and that. That's okay. So I put the scripture up there so people don't have to argue, right? Because we're here to teach. This is a teaching ministry, right? And it may be a lot of things. Let me tell you something about Christians. Of all people on the face of the planet, right, who are supposed to be upholding the truth, speaking the truth, believing the truth, walking the truth, preaching the truth, teaching the truth, Christians sometimes have a hard problem in accepting the truth of all people. Okay, we sometimes for many of us, it's a lot of times we have a hard problem with facing that which we're supposed to be living by, which is truth, right? Okay, so I put the scripture up there to let people know that. This is what the Old Testament says. Now, of course, folks, a lot of folks, you know, we're on Facebook and we have friends left and right, you know, like, you know, we meet people every day, every other day, every week, whatever, right? So we have new friends and they don't necessarily know who you are. You're just getting to know them, right? So people that you're just now getting to know, they may have a preconception about how much you know about the word. They don't know how much you know until you go over, right? So then you try to tell people, well, I'm this or that. I took this course, this class, I graduated here, this, that, that, and so on down the block, right, to let people know that, hey, I am versed in the word, right? So I give the word to let people know that I'm not making this stuff up. When I post on my wall, I normally don't start the broadcast out like this, for those of you who are tuning in tonight and you're new to our ministry online. But because folks were ripping me out about this bastard children post I put up, and I tried to make a point, and my point is, because folks want to comment all day on Facebook, right? They want to light up the board with comments, negative comments, this comment, that comment. But when it's time, you know, for the radio program to come on, I don't hear nobody calling in and saying nothing, which proves my point. You know, a lot of folks are just, you know, full of hot air, right? So I put the scripture up there because folks try to come in and refute, and you may feel this way about your page, you're on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you post, right? Folks will argue you, but they can't argue God. So if I have a Christian that is arguing the fact that a child born out of wedlock is considered a bastard child and I provide scripture, then the person is not arguing with me, even though it seems like they are, and they may really be, but really, I'm not the problem. The problem is that you don't have an understanding on God's word in regards to that topic or whatever is being posted. That's the problem. It's never the messenger unless the messenger is teaching something that is blasphemous or it is not the doctrine of truth. Okay? So if you can't prove that what I'm saying is blasphemous, and if you can't prove that what I'm saying is some other type of doctrine, okay, then, you know, I can go down a block and split that a couple ways too, but I'm not. I would just, you know, we just pray for understanding, for folks to get understanding. Because we understand not everybody's on the same level of understanding, same level of faith, same level of wisdom, and so on and so on. People are so hurt. You know, people walk around in relationships and they're hurt. They're still hurt. So that hurt is blocking them from seeing, from being enlightened to scriptural truths in biblical education. Because, you know, that hurt is still there. They gotta. It takes time to get through that. So I don't. This is why I don't lash out on social media, right? I don't expect. I expect people to say things, say what you have to say, but watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. On Facebook, here's the address. Good evening. On Facebook, in church, at home, at work, as a Christian, should I really have to tell another Christian to watch your mouth? Should I really have to tell you to watch your mouth? What are spiritual steps that help us from speaking out against each other? What are some things? Do you know some things that you can think of that you could share, maybe on tonight's broadcast, that will help you not to speak out against another a saint, that will help other Christians not to speak out against you? Do you know one or two or five or ten? From words that tear down and destroy, to words that encourage, lift up, and speak life, here we are. All right. So I just wanted to get that out. In case anybody's listening tonight and they got caught up in all of the nonsense that was going on my Facebook page, I had to cut people loose. You know, once again, I allow people to say what they say, but watch your mouth, because, you know, you can give your opinion without. It's one thing. I guess let me say this. For those of you who are new friends, we are new friends on Facebook, like, because everybody stewards their page differently. Right. Okay. My page is just for teaching. Okay. It's the only reason why I'm on Facebook is to teach. Okay. On relationships. All right. So I'm not interested in comments that are unscriptural, because it confuses people that I'm trying to teach regarding relationships. It confuses other Christians. Okay. So if I say to you, I'll give an example. If I post something on Facebook and I say, okay, when the Lord is coming back and he is going to rapture the church, okay, and you post on my page saying there's no such thing as a rapture because it's not in the Bible, right, and I'm not going to go back and forth with you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put up text that shows that the word rapture is not in there, but the word caught up is. And you have to go study yourself and see whether you want to study in Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. You have to go study and see that those words are synonymous, caught up in rapture. Okay? I'm just giving an example. So, but if you try to keep posting, well, there's no such thing as a rapture, and I'm saying, well, caught up is synonymous with rapture, go study, you know, I'll show you where it's at, and you just want to keep coming back, then I'm going to cut you loose. Because you're placing yourself as a stumbling block in truth, and you don't see it as truth because you still need to learn a little bit more, and that's where people pop up. You ever have people in your life and they pop up and say, "Oh wow, you know, I am so sorry. You know, I realized that back then when you were trying to, you know, teach me something or share something with me, I just couldn't see it then and there." And that's when you hear this type of testimony. Sometimes it takes people a long time to get enlightened about stuff, okay? But it doesn't mean that just because people are not enlightened about stuff and you know that they don't have an understanding on wisdom and knowledge of the word, it doesn't mean that you allow division and press back from other people trying to grasp onto this truth. In other words, you just don't allow people to run amok You know, when you go to church on Sundays and your pastor is preaching behind a pulpit and you have a guest pastor, when the guest pastor comes behind a pulpit and starts preaching, I guarantee you if that guest pastor preaches anything other than the gospel, your senior pastor is going to pull his coat and be like, "Nah, brother, you got the sister, you got to come on down off there." Okay? He's not going to allow that. Okay? So same thing on social medias. We are Christians. Our responsibility is to teach the truth. And this ministry, we teach truth about relationships. I cannot allow people, even Christians who think they have an understanding and they don't, I can't allow them to just post, you know, things that are against the word because they don't have correct interpretation, they don't have correct understanding, correct knowledge of what I'm trying to relay regarding relationships on Facebook. I guess I'll sum it up like that. You can pretty much understand that. Okay. So there you go. All right. Now, I've been online here. I put this broadcast up. This broadcast has been up, what, for the majority of the week, right? All the folks on Facebook, this is a good topic because we're talking about our speech, right? We see Christians on Facebook all the time. They're arguing with each other. They're fighting with each other. Somebody breaks out in bad speech, and the next thing you know, somebody's cussing, and somebody's using hate language, and somebody, you know. So you think that, right, I could find at least one person, one brother, one sister, to stand with me on tonight's broadcast, stand next to me, right, and be bold about this teaching, right? Can't find one, right? Can't find one. I got folks that, well, Darren, I'm going to listen, but I don't want to talk. Okay. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just, you know, it would be nice. Sometimes it's lonely, you know, platform and give a word, and you want your brothers and sisters to be next to you, but they don't want to, you know. I'm nervous, and I'm like, ah, okay, I'll leave it alone. But it would be nice. You know. So if you're listening and you got some love for your brother and you're not scared to speak on the air about what we're talking about tonight, then call in. All right? We're just talking. All right? So where's the number? The number is 949. Here's the number. Here's the number. It's 949. How many Christians on Facebook? Got to be thousands, tens of thousands. I can't find one. Can't find one. All right, here's the number, 949-272-9514. My brother, sister, my family left me by myself. 949-272-9514. That's the number if you want to call it. All right, so taming your tongue. Normally, I would probably give tips at the end of the broadcast, but you know what? I'm gonna give them in the beginning, all right? And I'm just gonna leave it at that, all right? And I'm gonna give some scripture, and if the scripture hits your heart, and you're able to give a comment, please do, all right? So, one of the things we want to recognize, let me make this practical. We don't want to be rude. We don't want to be crude. We don't want to be sassy. We don't want to vent and have anger, unrighteous anger, and we don't want to provoke people, cause stress. There's enough stress in the world as it is. We want to recognize that we don't want to swear. You know, a lot of us swear online. We swear in our expression. We swear in dogmatic debates. We swear. We use swearing words when we're trying to win an argument on Facebook and Twitter and whatever, on these online social meetings. You know, a lot of us start to swear, okay? So you don't prove that you are a smart person or you are even an articulate person by swearing. You as a Christian, you don't earn respect from your other brothers and sisters by swearing. You don't earn admiration in case you got your eye on somebody and it just happens that you came into your first disagreement and now you want to swear. Okay, you're not going to earn that person's love or admiration by doing that. You don't motivate the church. And you surely don't want to intimidate the church. And this is what swearing does. So swearing doesn't get you romantic. It doesn't get you in a romantic situation. It doesn't get you into a romantic connection with anybody. You know, it doesn't do any of these things for you. So we want to keep in mind that even in the course of our casual conversation, where it may not be that deep, we don't want to swear. All right, because swearing is not good. All right. All right. We don't want to we don't want to cuss, and we don't want to complain. So let me start with cussing, because I done been on Facebook and seen some people that call themselves Christians and drop some words online, and I'm just sitting back reading this thing, and I want to comment, but I don't. And I'm like, and I go to this person's page. Now, yeah, go to somebody's page, and they got Jesus all over the place. But then half of their photo pictures are naked, nude, and if the photo albums is decent, then everything they're talking about has a curse word in it, or they're calling out the Lord's name in vain, right? And then don't type to them and say, are you a Christian? And they said, yes. Don't you know you're not supposed to be saying these words? Because they will blow up on you. You know, like, who are you to be telling me? And don't judge me. And, you know, that's everybody's favorite line to keep on sinning. Don't judge me. And that way they keep on sinning. Right? All right. Don't cuss. Even though we are in, I know it's hard. Because I know even the church folks, our own family, can tick us off at times. More than the Tic Tacs we put in our mouth, but in the course of a day. But we ain't supposed to be cussing. So even though we're in an imperfect world, we want to keep our expectations of holy speech just that. We want to have expectations of holy speech. We want to keep striving towards holy speech. I know everybody slips up every now and then. Some of us never slip up, you know, as far as with our words. Or it's been a long, long time since we slipped up. So the point is, don't cuss. Whether you felt led to address, you know, throw a comment out there to if you see this online, that's between you and God. I'm not going down that block. I'm just a messenger. I don't bring the revelation. But we're not supposed to be cussing. There's a lot of cussing. People who say they're Christian on online. I'm primarily talking about Facebook, but you know, you can. I'm pretty sure you see it on Twitter and so on as well. And you're like, what's going on? It's almost like it's becoming cliche. It's becoming the norm for people who say that they're Christians and to use curse words. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Okay. So, you know, in our course of day-to-day communication online, you know, we run into aggravated conversations and disappointing conversations and frustrations with people, you know, in the church online, just like we do offline, right? The fact is that, you know, we have to deal with them to a certain extent. But when we do deal with our brothers and sisters, watch them out. We're talking to God's children. It's not just the point of we ought to watch our mouth regardless of who we talk to, because that's true. Even if we're talking to the unsaved, there's only two types of people in the face of the planet, walking the face of the planet. That's the saved and the unsaved. So if we say to ourselves that we are Christians and we're not supposed to be cursing, and we use that in light of the unsaved, then how much more are we not supposed to use that type of language to those of us, to those who stand as our brothers and sisters? So we just want to have a little bit more heart, okay? And I see the caller on 757 area code. I'm going to get with you in just a minute or two. All right. So we don't want to cuss. We want to cope. All right. And I know coping, people can't cope. That's why they cuss, right? Because they can't cope. People don't have patience. I'm talking Christians now, okay? This is not a universal statement. Okay, this I'm not talking about the whole entire body of Christ. Okay, you very well may have strong, solid patience, and you know how to cope in situations like this. But a lot of us don't, right? So, because you remember, we have the mature Christians walking this planet, and we have the babes who are just getting born, and they still got a lot of worldliness, you know. I just got saved today, you know. I was in the world yesterday, and a whole lot of years prior to that, you know. So not everybody gets converted, you know. Jesus gives us what we need to get rid of everything we did, all of the sin, but we still sin, right? So folks got vices, even if you just got one vice. So folks don't know how to cope with their vices. We don't know how to cope with other people's mess and how they come at us with aggravations and disappointments and dogmatic debates and arguing about this, that, and other thing, right? So when we don't know how to cope, then we either what? We throw up a wall and we say, we put our hand in people's face, our cyber hand in the people's face, and we say, you know what, forget you. Christian or not, forget you, right? And that's not right, right? Because just like the cussing, if you selected to open the other door and actually use language at them instead of putting your cyber hand up in their face, it's still bringing a division within the body, right? So I say this from time to time. Look how far we have come away from Acts, the original church. Like, we're the New Testament church, right? So the New Testament church, when it started in Acts, it says they were all of one heart and one mind. Do you look at the church today and see they were all of one heart and one mind? I don't think so. We cussing each other out and we beating each other down, and it's my way or the highway, and relationships are just tore up, and this is what it is. And when I come out with this stuff, and I said, well, you know, why are these Christian sisters out here having these bastard children that are not married for whatever reason, you know, then they want to nail me online. But the fact is, you got four or five kids out here from four or five different fathers, you ain't married none of them, and there ain't no scripture nowhere where you can find to not keep on doing that mess. Now, I'm not saying, once again, children are a gift, but come on now. You know, and I understand the father laid down too. But, you know, I'm using this as an example because, you know, it's just like, I don't know where you live at, but here in Philly, it's like every single woman, and I can go down the line and say black women, but I know it's white women too and every other probably race. But for those of us who are black and we live in a city and we live in the inner city, we see a lot of this. It's young black females with multiple kids, multiple baby daddies, not married to none of them, and they just keep having more kids, and scripture talks about that. You know, so you're saved. So when are you going to get a lock on that, right? So when are we going to get a lock on our mouth, right, how we talk to each other? So we don't want to complain. So a whole lot of this goes on online, whining and griping, and they say, Darren, you know, you just want to beat people down. And no, I don't want to beat people down. I want to bring out these things so we know how to cope with these things and address these things so our relationships will be better. Because if we don't talk about these things, everybody's silent about these things. And have you ever heard of the word or the phrase silent killers? As somebody that's been raped by a family member, that's a silent killer. As somebody who is struggling with a family member who's on dope and strung out on dope in a quiet room in the back, that's a silent killer because nobody's in the family's talking about it, right? So we want to address these things and get it out in the open because we want to get light out into the open with our speech, right? So we don't want to be griping and whining online about every little thing, really about anything. So we want to avoid complaining. People online always complaining about this, that, and another thing. Once again, You can have your opinion, but surely if your opinion is going to be contrary to the word, and I'm given the word, then your opinion gets deleted because it causes confusion for the next person who comes onto the page, and they're trying to get an understanding, a word, a God word, a biblical understanding of whatever we're talking about, and they're going to be confused. Because we got 50 different people on the page giving 50 different answers and 50 different interpretations about one topic. And then folks start saying, well, you know what, why don't I go over here and try this Muslim thing? Because they seem like they all got one mind and one thought going on about it. See my point? So we want to avoid complaining, all right? So complaining, whining, griping, cussing. What else did we mention? All right, these are things we don't want to do. Alternative words. That's for you college-educated people on Facebook who think that you can post something, boy, I tell you, think that you can post things and folks is not smart enough to read between the lines of what you're trying to say because you're being very educated about what you're trying to say. But it still equals out to the same type of rotten smell to someone who is cussing. It's just that you did it in a very, you want to do it in a so-called, I'm not going to say respectable, Some people may say I'm doing it in a very I'm using discretion or I'm being discreet about, well, you know, it still stinks because if somebody with half intelligence, half knowledge, half wisdom can read between the lines, and some of you try to be slick about your posts, it's sarcasm. It's if you can read it, you know, somebody smart enough to pick it out, they'll know that what you're trying to say and all that craftiness of your words at the end of the period or the question mark or whatever you're leaving it with, it still stinks. And it doesn't build up the church. It doesn't build up the person you're talking to. It stinks. And it's just it leaves the person who's reading it and the person who was meant to read it, and leaves them with a bad taste in their mouth, and it's a seed to start arguments. It's a seed to start complaining. It's a seed to start whining, and then from there you go to cussing, and then from there, you know, you're just going down the block. So we want to be careful about alternative words in our speech. Watch your mouth. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to cuss at me. When you think you slick and you want to post things on Facebook and online, comments that you think I'm not intelligent enough to pick apart these words and understand what you're really trying to say, don't underestimate people. Because if they don't understand it, they could be going to somebody else or copying and pasting what you're typing, and they could be going to your pastor or to, you know, somebody in your church, or they could be going to your boss. You know, you got people who work together on Facebook and online. They could be going to your neighbor and says such, you know, such and such. Look at what they wrote. Can you tell me what they mean by this? And if somebody else interprets it correctly, and then it winds up back to you, and then that thing is ugly. Okay? So don't think that you're so smart that you still want to, as Christians, we don't want to use words. We don't want to think that we're so wise that we can use words to manipulate people who we think won't understand what we're talking about. And we're playing them for a fool, and we're saying to ourselves, well, they're going to take this as though it's a compliment, but I'm crafting these words in such a way the way as though I'm really cussing them out, or I'm really telling them, you know. Okay? So that's, God knows what you're doing, okay? God, before you put your fingers on that keyboard, and you press enter, and that comment goes in somebody's box, God knows what your intentions are. You think you won't be judged from it for doing this? Sometimes I think Christians don't think that they're going to be judged for doing stuff on Facebook. Sometimes I think Christians think that God is up there saying, well, you know, you're doing all this stuff on Facebook, but it's Facebook, so I'm not going to really hold you accountable. Sometimes I think Christians think like that. Like, I can be stripped, ankle naked online. I can cuss you out, every type of cussing, and I can do all this stuff, but God's not going to say nothing because it's Facebook. He's going to let that slide. God, it's only Facebook. You're not going to really judge me over that stuff. It's Facebook. It's, you know, it's just the real world is where I want to be judged, God, but not online. You know, this is just online. It's playtime. This is how I think people are thinking. Okay. Let's go to the air. Let's see if somebody is online here. 757 area code. You're live on the EYC Radio Network. Can you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Andrea Hall from Black Christian Relationships calling from Norfolk, Virginia.
Amen, Sister Hall. Come on and bless us.
I wanted to say, Darren, that I'm so you are so on point tonight in everything that you're saying. And I was one of the ones that made a comment on that post you did about the bastard children. And Black Christians in particular, black female Christians, are so duplicitous that it's really a shame. Even when it comes down to you showing the word, as you said earlier, you show the proof that it's the word and not you saying this, and they'll still say, no, or they'll still try to argue down. So I'm glad, very glad that you are on this call tonight, on this conference tonight, just speaking truth. And the profanity, that whole issue, it's more in the church now almost than it is in the world. The preachers are cursing. The people in the pews are cursing. There's cursing in gospel music now. It's everywhere. And we are so much in bed with the world that when somebody tries to check us, then we get offended. You know, but we need to be offended because if not, we're going to make our way straight to hell real quick. So God bless you, and thank you so much for speaking truth tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, amen, sister. You got to go? You going to stick around a little bit?
I'm going to stick around a little bit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then before you go, okay, because I want to thank you for calling in here. Before you go, I got a scripture that I want to give in regards to our speech, and I just want you to elaborate on this and just tell me what hit your heart.
Okay.
Okay. So it says, and by the way, if anybody's tuning in, just coming in, you're listening live to the EYC Radio Network. This is internet radio, folks. A lot of Christians online have these conference prayer lines. This isn't a conference prayer line. This is internet radio. Like you get in your car, you turn on the radio. This is internet radio. Okay, so welcome to all of you who are new. Normally, we have been broadcasting. I have been broadcasting here online, teaching online for a little over 3 years now on Facebook and Twitter. Over 200 archived broadcasts are out there on the internet. You don't know where the link is. Inbox me, folks. And just on Christian relationships, single, married, divorced, widowed, so many different topics, love, communication, sex, courting, dating, family. There's a lot of stuff out there, right? So this is, our second broadcast of 2015. So if you don't know where the link is, give me an inbox, a little message there, and I'll send it to you. Because folks, they contact me, and they say, well, Darren, I'm dating, and I got a divorce question. And I say, we did a two-hour broadcast on that. You know, the folks want me to do a two-hour broadcast in 5 minutes, and we really need to utilize the I do these broadcasts because I know folks are in relationships and they need answers. I try to help with biblical answers, right? This is what we do, biblical education for Christian relationships, right? So folks, and they come on and says, well, Darren, I need an answer. I says, well, listen, the answer is Jesus. But if you need a teaching, this is what we did. We did that, a couple years ago, and here's the link. You know what they tell me? I don't have time to listen to a two-hour broadcast. I said, okay.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. I said,
wow.
Okay. All right. So you want me to fix your relationship like Jiffy Pop popcorn that's supposed to be cooked in like a minute and a half, and you want me to, and I don't give the revelation, folks. I'm from the old school. Well, I'm from the old school, but no matter how old school is, we are teachers. So the last time I understood, and I'm pretty sure this is where it still goes and will forever go and has gone since the beginning, Holy Spirit gives revelation. We teach. Okay. People come up to me and say, well, I got a revelation. I was, okay, well, it better line up with the word. Well, I better get it in my spirit because, you know, that's all I'm saying. So, so I say all of that to say, for those of you who are new to the broadcast, welcome. There was a time that we tried to be on a couple times a week, and we're trying to get back up to that. You know, things God, I guess, you know, we have a mission or we have a task to do, and sometimes he sends us the different tasks, and, you know. So we are currently looking for a volunteer women's ministry leader, men's ministry leader to teach on relationships, Christian relationships to young women and to seasoned women and for the men as well, from everything from single life to dating to marriage and courting and so on. So you have the gift of teaching. You have about an hour, 2 hours out of 7 days in a week. We can talk about lining up a particular day. And the broadcasts are normally from 8 to 10 p.m. A particular day to where as though if you want to bless the church online, even the unsaved, talk about relationship teaching, relationship education from a biblical perspective, send me an inbox, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you. Because folks online, you know, they say, well, Darren, what's all these people online? Where are they coming from? They're coming from offline. Where do you think they're coming from? folks, we have relationships offline, and we, to a certain extent, not everybody's in the same boat, but, you know, people are hurt, and other people are just looking for a different venue to look for whatever they're looking for, and we use the Internet. Of course, the Internet can be used for good or bad. The Internet does not have a soul. We do. So you can't blame the Internet for your relationship downfalls. It's good as far as meeting people, you know, in long distances and things like that, and, you know, where you wouldn't travel to by other means. But in the same token, you run into people. You know, it could be a little bit more fruitful, so to speak. So we use the Internet as a tool to teach godly relationships. Here's the scripture. Our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Proverbs 12:6. My sister, how important is it that the church understands that the words that we speak to each other as Christians really do have the power to destroy us or to build us up?
It is of extreme importance because everybody judges you by what you say. And if you say you represent Almighty God and you are acting or speaking in a way that is totally against him, then not only are you a hypocrite, but you are putting him in a bad light. So you are allowing yourself to put lives in danger that could be drawn to God, but because of you, they're like, no, I don't think so, because you are acting just like them. And one of the problems with Christianity, the Christian world, the black Christian world today, is that we have this idea that we need to meet people where they are. We need to come down to their level, when in actuality, people don't need anybody else at their level. They need something to aspire to. They need something to look up to. Come on, they don't even like where they are, so why am I going to act like them to try to win them to the God who is more than enough? So we need to give them something to aspire to. So, you know, you can't say I'm acting like them because I'm a Jordan. No, leave that. That's an excuse, and it's not working. You need to clean your mouth because you represent Almighty God. He is not pleased, and just because judgment of these behaviors, we're not seeing anything, doesn't mean that God is not looking there, shaking his head. You know, enough is enough. It's very important. We've got to stop. Our words are very important in the world today.
That was so good. I got one more for you. That was so good. I don't want you to go just yet. I got one more for you. Watch Your Mouth. That's the name of the broadcast tonight. Here on the EYC Radio Network on Facebook in church. And those of you who are listening can read this address because it's on the Facebook event page. On Facebook in church, at home, at work, as a Christian, should I really have to tell another Christian to watch Your Mouth? Should I really have to tell you to watch Your Mouth? Should I really have to tell you that? Like, you should already know that. And what are the spiritual steps that help us from speaking out against each other? Sister just tapped into some of that. From words that tear down and destroy to words that encourage, lift up and speak life. So the sister here, my beloved sister here with me, she mentioned the word, she talked about our speech, right, and watching our mouth, and I'll just use the word unwholesome, right, unwholesome words. So Scripture says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29, let's understand this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is, let's move the unwholesome talk to the side. Okay, now what do we have left? But only what is helpful for building others up. Okay, so now we have words that are helpful for building others up. Okay, this is what we have on the table now. Okay, let's keep going. According to their needs. So now my question is, if you can't find words that build up Christ according to their needs so much that you can only find unwholesome talk to bring them down, then what is the real lack here? Because we can say that the lack is that you just don't understand that you ain't supposed to be cussing. That's evident. But let's get to the root. What is going on that in a lot of our minds that propels us to get to the point of cussing or not, even if we don't cuss or use unwholesome talk, to not even get us to the point where we can't even use words that build each other up because of what? According to Scripture, according to the needs. So we have needs, like the church has needs. We all have needs, right? So I started by saying towards the beginning of this broadcast that the early church was of one heart and one mind. Okay, I said that for a reason. If you are of one heart and one mind, that means that everything that you're doing towards each other has to be addressed according to each other's needs. You cannot be of one heart and one mind if you are not addressing the need. You're not addressing my needs, and I'm not addressing your needs. It's impossible. So, in order for that to happen, we have to be using words that build each other up. I'm backtracking on this verse. So if we are not addressing each other's needs, and the reason why we're not addressing each other's needs, according to this verse, is because there is lack of words that's being used between us that should build each other up, and we backtrack some more. The only thing is left is, if it's not a positive word, then it's a negative word, which is why the verse comes out and says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Then what is the root of why we can't address each other's needs? So therefore, we can expect the words to be there that will continually lift us up and build us up and keep us away from unwholesome talk. Does anybody see where I'm going with this? What is it? Come on, sister, if you can come on in on this. Come on.
The root of it all is that today's Christian does not spend any quality time in the Word. If you don't spend time in the Word, then your words are not going to be wholesome, because the Word is what feeds you the wholesome words. As you read the Word, Scripture says in the Old Testament, every word of God is pure. And what that means in the Hebrew is every word of God purifies. So just the main, just the process of reading the word, even if you're reading the beget, you know, that all that stuff in the Old Testament, Levi beget he, and all of that. Just the process of reading the word purifies you. The word is a purifier. It's a washer. But Christians today do not spend time soaking in the water of the word. And so they are still remaining carnal. Mm-hmm. And carnal Christians speak carnal talk. And the scripture here that you read in Ephesians 4:29 says, let. The first word is let. In other words, you have the ability to control what you say. We have the ability. But because we don't soak in the word and let God's words become our words, then the only thing that's going to come up is our carnal ways and our ways that we're tied into the world, trying to be in the church and trying to be in the world, trying to get the best of both worlds and not standing on the word and the word alone.
Amen.
So that's
true. Amen. So, and let me add to that, amen, to everything you just said. And let me add to that. So for those of you who are listening, you heard what the sister said. She said folks are just not being saturated by the word, and that's why they don't have nothing good to say. They're always cussing out their mouth and arguing and dogmatic fighting online and all the rest of this other stuff. And comment boxes are blowing up, and folks are angry, and the whole church is angry. What's going on with the church today? Everybody angry. Church shouldn't have no stress, right? So what is Paul talking about? So Paul is trying to emphasize here that it's not just a fact that Christians should refrain from telling lies and unwholesome speech and cussing, and that's not enough. Just like the sister said, we ought to be saturated in the word because we don't naturally gravitate towards God. Take God out of our lives and we will cling to the world and stay there. Okay? So if we don't saturate ourselves in biblical education, let's bring it around because this is a relationship teaching ministry, regarding our relationships, even our relationships with our brothers and sisters on Facebook and online, if we don't saturate ourselves in the word, then what type of word do you think is going to come out of our mouth? So it's not just about you saying to yourself, well, you know what, I'm mature enough as a Christian to where as though I can hold back my mouth from unwholesome speech. Well, yeah, you can. If that's your will to do that, you can do that. But it's more than that. You should be saturating yourself, and I'll stay on this because sister made such a profound statement. You need to be We need to be saturating ourselves in the word. Christianity is not just a don't do religion.
Exactly.
The reason why we need to saturate ourselves in the word is because the word is living, and the word is Christ, and we are to emulate Christ. So if we don't saturate ourselves in the word, then we're going to be saturating ourselves in the world. So it's not just about I'm a Christian and I have the will not to cuss. I have the will not to use unwholesome speech. Yeah, you do. And you also have the option. We're not robots. God leaves us with, do you want to say yes or do you want to say no? Do you want to bite the apple or not? So God leaves us with that. He leaves us with, you can cuss if you want, but choose life. So it's not just a matter of us saying, well, I know not to do this, so I'm not going to do it. Well, I can go the rest of my life. I'll make this very practical because I like to make things practical. I can go the rest of my life right now and say to myself, I will not use a cuss word ever. Does that mean that I'm saturated in the word? No. Does that mean I'm even reading the word? No. It just means that I choose not to cuss ever again in this life. Folks, you see my point? So it's not just about us saying no when somebody jumps on our Facebook page for comments that we don't like and we withhold ourselves from cussing back at them or using grandular words when we're trying to be sophisticated and give an undertone of harshness that we think nobody else can figure out, trying to be slick. It's not just about that. You can do that, but we're supposed to be saturated in the word because the word is life, and we're to imitate or we're to emulate life, Christ, and we're supposed to, you know, glory to glory, step to step, grace in the multitudes, and we're supposed to amaze Christ, people in the world, even our brothers and sisters, of what Christ is doing through us. So if you don't catch anything tonight, then catch this. You have the will to say, no, I won't. But it's deeper than that. Even though you have the will to say, no, I won't, or yes, I will watch my mouth and I won't cuss at my brother or sister or anyone or say anything unwholesome, it's, don't just stop there. You're supposed to go far beyond that. You're supposed to keep yourself saturated in the Word. Because why? Because keeping yourself saturated in the Word will help you, because the Word is alive and it's powerful, will help you as you lean on the Holy Spirit and so on, will help you keep your mouth from going in a wrong direction. So therefore, mm-hmm. it's not just about you won't. It's about something that's greater than you won't cuss, I won't cuss. It's about I will keep myself saturated in the Word. I will keep myself, the Word poured upon my spirit and my soul and my life. It's more than just I won't. It's you want to get to I will. A lot of us get to the point where we say I won't do that, but we leave the will part alone. We say, okay, well, I won't cuss. I won't use unwholesome words, and that's good enough. No, it's not. Because, once again, you can stop there and never pick up a Bible for the rest of your life and just say, you know, I just chose not to cuss for the rest of my life. That's not the point. And I understand that's the point of this broadcast, watch your mouth, brother or sister. But in actuality, the deeper point to the title of this broadcast is what we're supposed to be doing every day. I'm so glad, sister, I'm so glad you called in, because I'm going to stick to this phrase, saturate yourself with the Word. It's not just about saying I won't cuss or I won't use unwholesome words, because you know it's wrong to do that. It's about I will keep myself saturated in the Word. I will keep the Word poured over my life, in my lips, in my mind, Romans 12:2, in my heart, in my soul, in my relationships, so that I don't have to, because it's like the old, it's like when you say I won't cuss or I won't use unwholesome words, and you don't want to go beyond that and saturate your life with the Word, it's kind of like the Old Testament, where now, you know, it's like, okay, I got these set of rules, and it's written in stone, not to cuss and not to use unwholesome words, you know, and you're I don't want to say struggling, but in some cases, many of you may be struggling because you're just that close to using a word you're not supposed to be using, and you're like, okay, I got to keep the law, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to use unwholesome words, I'll keep the law, but there's no life in your spirit, and then here comes Christ, it's the New Testament, it's the New Age, and he's saying, listen, I understand. Is I'm not taking away that rule written in stone. Is here is the New Testament. You're still not supposed to be cussing and cursing. But now I want you to pour myself, my Word, over your life, integrate it into your life, into your relationships, and you'll feel more free than just trying to uphold the rule, the written rule of on stone. Don't cuss. Don't use unwholesome language. You know, in other words, you're doing it by your will to try to maintain that, but this is the dispensation of grace. Free your mind. We're not under the law no more. Saturate yourself with the Word. Let the Word pour out from heaven, from the Spirit, over your life, and get liberty, get freedom. And you don't have to feel like you're walking around all day saying, oh, I'm not going to use this word. Be free in the Spirit, and you won't be stressed out about what you're trying not to do, because you'll have the freedom, and that freedom in the Spirit relaxes you, and it relaxes you so much if you get to this point that you don't have to walk around like, well, I got to keep the law. You will keep it just for the simple fact that you're letting the Spirit allowing the Spirit to pour out himself and the Word of God upon your life and you're soaking it in, you don't have no time to walk around and say, I got to keep the law, I got to keep the law, I got to keep the law. Because walking in the Spirit, that's what you're going to do automatically just because you're allowing that Word to cover your life. And the Word brings freedom, to bring liberty and release and all these other things. So you're not in bondage anymore, if anybody understands what I'm saying. Sister, you want to touch on that?
I hear what you're saying, and you're saying it very well, absolutely. It's an indirect method we're talking about. There's so many things that we have to do, that we're not doing, that we need to do, that we're not doing, that we need to do, and we're so stressed out about having to do this, having to do that. When the simple answer is, if you make the Word of God your priority, all of these things will begin to flow out of you naturally. For instance, if you have a glass full of water and you want to fill that glass full of, you want the water out and you want to put milk in, the easiest way to do it, what a child would do is he'd get a container of milk and just pour it on top of the water. And what's going to happen? The water's going to go out and the milk is going to come in. And so all you have to do is focus on the Word. So what does the enemy do? And what is happening is that we're focusing on everything but that which is the answer that we need. We're trying to, like people when they get a new cell phone, nobody reads a book. Nobody looks at the video. I got this. It's just a cell phone. And I do the same thing. We all try to work it, and then we get frustrated and wind up going back to the book anyway because although we can basically work it, we're missing a lot of the benefits because we haven't spent time in the manual. We're too fast. And it's the same thing. We try to live a Christian life, and we're not successful living it as good as we could. We're not having life and life more abundantly. We're struggling. We're barely making it week to week. Then we get on Facebook and we take out all our frustrations on the first person that comes along and disagrees with us. But if we just go back to the Word, live in the Word, then as you said, my brother, a few minutes earlier, everything else will flow out of that. We're doing it backwards, and we're taking out our frustration for that not working on everybody around us.
Well, you know, hey, man, see, I knew, I was kind of disappointed because I was reaching out to, I try to get folks on Facebook involved that I fellowship with online from day to day and week to week, and so I try to get them involved. Okay, so folks, the broadcast is coming. This is time. Let the whole world hear your voice. And I said, I knew that somebody. So I know who it was, brother or sister. I said I knew somebody's gonna pop up and be there. I'm not gonna be by myself. You know. So God bless, sister. You are the answer to my prayer tonight. And we all know that, you know, the Lord is with us, but you are the answer to prayer because obviously is you know, and I say this a lot, whether the Lord wills it or whether he allows it, I'm going to take it. Okay.
Yes,
so whether he willed you to be here tonight or he allowed you to be here tonight, I'm going to take it. Okay. Okay. And I want to say thank you. Sister, I'm not going to hold you up too much longer because let me tell you something, that all of what you said, folks can chew on that for a long time, and I hope they do, and I hope they integrate it into their relationships, especially on Facebook, these social medias, because it's so easy for us to just, you know, click these little buttons and press enter, and we have no, we act like we have no heart. For even though we know we are talking to others who profess Christ, we act like we have no heart for their feelings or their cares, what they're going through at that particular time in their life, you know, and this and other thing, and it's just too easy. And that may be one of the downfalls of so-called you know, technology, internet, social media, but it's not an excuse because at the end of the day, we do these things because once again. As you stated, we use these words and we do these things and we communicate like this in a way that is so hellish at times is because we are not saturated in the Word as we should be. And also, there's a lot of mercy and down that road as well. Sister, God bless you. And I'm going, when I see you on Facebook, I'm going to holler at you. I'm going to holler at you.
Well, good. Good. You need to.
And you're welcome back. Now that the and listen, these broadcasts, you know, we archive. So you may want to, I don't know whether tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to put it up. I normally put it up the same night after the broadcast is over, which is going to be about another 50 minutes or so.
Okay.
If you want to take it off my wall and put it on yours and let your friends and family listen to you give such a powerful word, please do. Bless. Don't hold. Don't, you know, Bible talks about, you know, don't withhold what is good. You know, the word that you gave tonight is good, so don't withhold it. You know, let people hear it. You know, tell your friends and listen to this. You know, I spoke a word tonight and it's going to bless you because I know it blessed me. So I know it will bless anyone else. And I pray that, you know, those who are listening now live, those who also are going to listen by archive to come, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or whenever down the road. There's no possible way unless their back is totally turned towards, totally turned away from purity in speech, holiness in speech. There's no possible way that they wouldn't get blessed by what you said tonight, and I'm sure of that. So God bless you, and thank you, sister.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for speaking out the word and the truth, my brother. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'll see you soon.
All righty.
All right. All right. All right, folks, it's a little after 9 o'clock. You're listening to the EYC Radio Network. My name is Darren Chapman. What a beautiful, powerful word that we just heard. We are in the middle of Watch Your Mouth, my brother and my sister. Watch Your Mouth on Facebook, in church, at home, at work, as a Christian. Should I really have to tell another Christian to watch your mouth? What type of world are we living in today where we have to tell another Christian to watch their mouth? Okay. So, and what type of world are we living in today where we are in the midst, we are in the same environment of other Christians who cuss, who use words that tear down, and we don't say anything? I say that's the reason why a lot of these young people today are so bold about what they do in public. Because nobody says anything to them. You know, I catch the bus, and I'm on the bus, and young people are cussing, and they're talking about illicit stuff, and this and another thing. And the grown folks, they just sit there, and they just look at me. They say, well, that's not my responsibility. You know, it used to be a time where, you know, when I was a kid, you know, your parents weren't around, your neighbor would check you. If, you know, And by the time your folks got home, you know, you would, how did my mom or dad find out about me using foul language? Because your neighbor checked you and knocked on the door of your parents. And let me tell you, and your parents would believe the neighbor because that's how close they were. They trusted. Same thing in the church. You know, we see stuff going on in the church and we're scared to say something, you know, we don't. Well, it's not my business. Let the next Christian say something. And, you know, we don't want people jumping up in our faces, you know, in our faces. You know, some Christians, they got anger issues and physical problems, you know, not like, you know, they're ready to fight. That's what I'm talking about when I say physical. You know, you don't want another Christian or brother, sister beating you down by you checking them on their speech and so on. So if we don't do this, then what's going to happen? Right? Somebody's going to wind up standing up one day and say, no, this has got to stop. We have got to remind our brothers and sisters at the very first word that is ill, that comes out of our mouth, to check them. Right? Otherwise, what's going to happen over time? Okay? All right. So Jesus, he reminds us. He reminds us that the words that we speak, they come where? They come from where? They come straight from our heart. Right? Matthew 12. So when we become a Christian, there is urgency for our speech to change. Jesus should, we should be allowing Jesus every day to make a difference in our lives regarding the choice of our words. Away from cursing and bitterness. A lot of us are still out there bitter over relationships and, you know, stuff pours out online. To remind ourselves to stay in repentance, repent for our sins, to seek sanctification. A lot of us struggle. Just like you're a Christian and you may struggle. Somebody became saved today, but they were a homosexual yesterday, and they were not delivered, and they're still struggling with homosexuality. You may be a Christian. You may have been a Christian for a lot of years now, and you're still struggling with something in your life, whether it's lying, cheating, stealing, fornication, murderous thoughts. You see, I never harmed a fly, Darren. I wouldn't harm a fly, let alone a human being. Yeah, but you got murderous thoughts in your mind. And sometimes that pours out over, you know, out from our heart and off of our lips. So when this happens, you know, Paul talks about how our throats are an open grave, Romans 3:13. Can you imagine your throat being a grave that is opened up and what's being poured out of your mouth is death, words that speak death. You ever look at it like that? It's much worse than you not brushing your teeth. I can deal with that to a certain degree. But, you know, words that come out of your mouth, Romans 3:13, their throats are open graves. Words that come out of your mouth, words of death. It's coming from an open grave, that's your throat. Coming out from your throat, death coming out from your throat, which is a grave, and the death of the words out of your mouth. I'll deal with the bad breath opposed to that, right? All right, so we hop on over to 1 Peter 3:15. It talks about always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So, you know, always ready to give an answer, right? As a Christian, whatever answer that you get should be gentle and it should be respectful. People talk about our tones, you know. I know I have a somewhat of a deep tone, and I have to watch myself because it's... If you add passion and to that, you know, someone can easily interpret my voice as disrespectful and harmful because I got a deep tone, and then I'm passionate about what I'm talking about, and then my voice starts to raise, and to you, it may seem like I'm hollering at you, and you're going to take that as being disrespectful, you know. So sometimes we have to use words in cases like mine. We have to use words that overshadow, you know, deep voice, loud voice, you know, so people don't get offended. Watch your mouth. So in this situation, it's not exactly what you're saying, even though it is. You're using words to combat what other people may be offended with, which is your tone, and you're speaking a little loud and so on. But sometimes it's not what you say. Sometimes it's how you say it. So you may want to juggle with that. Watch your mouth. My brother, my sister, watch your mouth. It's not exactly, it could be, you know, one or two things. It could be what you're saying. It could be how you're saying. You know, I think that when we're online, like on Facebook, and we want to make a very, you know, one of the things that I tell people, and if any of you have ever talked to me on the phone, like I'm a big advocate of talking on the phone, okay? And I'll tell you why. because words can be misinterpreted in a heartbeat. You know, you typing across that little IM box, it's to somebody who does not know you. You never talked to them on the phone. They don't have any history about you. You're just now getting to know each other. You know, we all meet people online, friends, and some of you looking for marriage and so on, and dates and hookups and whatever you're looking for. So we're talking to people online for whatever the reason is. You know, it's very easy, especially in the beginning stages, to misinterpret a very practical, innocent sentence. Now, that other person on the other side is like, you better watch your mouth. But they don't know, you know, where you're coming from. So you have to use words to supplement what you're saying so that the other person doesn't get offended, because what you have typed or what you have said to them initially, they're not taking too well because they don't know where you're coming from. They don't know you. They don't know your intentions. They don't know that you're honorable and you can be trusted and you're not coming with ill intent, and they don't know that. So we got to play around with these things, because they're on the other end of that IM box saying, this brother better watch his mouth. I'm on the other end of the IM box saying, this sister better watch her mouth. So we need to have an open mind, you know, type back or talk back to them. You know, well, can you explain to me what you mean by that statement you just made? I don't want to interpret the wrong, you know, way, or, you know, I realize I'm just getting to know you. Can you just, you know, kindly, and put a little smiley face up there. You know, use those smiley faces, you know. So that way, you know, if you give an exact statement, I don't mean an exact as in making your statement exact as in exactly understandable, but if you give it an exact as in definite statement, which if you don't add a smiley face or something at the end, it could come off like there's an exclamation point there at the end when there's not. You're making a definite statement to others. You know, you may want to supplement the words or use these little smiley faces so the other person on the other line, or, you know, the other end of the phone or that IM box is not saying, thinking, you know, this brother or sister better watch them out, because they're already thinking that the very next thing you're going to type is what's going to set them off on a delete hit run. Okay? So don't assume. Unless the person knows you, don't assume. Okay, that's why I tell people to call me. Okay. Well, Darren, I typed this to you 15 times. I still don't understand what you're talking about. Between the typos and the this and that and the broken language, between the typos and the ebonics that folks is using, I think people think I'm in my 20s, right? I have no idea what they're doing. Between the typos and the ebonics and the broken language, I don't have a clue as to what people are typing to me. Can you just pick up the phone and call me and just tell me what's on your mind, what's on your heart, please? But see, we're living in the world today. Here we go. Where communication. We're living in a world of technology, and Christians are, I think that they're, you talking about renew your mind? I think that, I don't know what they're renewing as far as technology, but I think Christians are getting sunk into this technology so much that they actually start to believe that cyber communication is supposed to be over verbal communication. I'll say that again. Cyber communication is not supposed to be in the forefront of verbal communication. In all possible circumstances, we are to communicate what? Spirit to spirit. That's on the high, high, high level. Okay. And but if we're talking about like out of our mouths, you know, we are to communicate face to face. And if we can't be face-to-face because we're on the other sides of the state or the country or the world, then we are to communicate. Well, what's the next one? Verbally. I want to hear your voice by phone. And then we can't communicate by phone. Now, this is not written in a book anywhere, but, I mean, think about it for a second. Okay? Well, if we're Christian and we're supposed to have a Christian fellowship, a Christian relationship, why would we choose to constantly speak to each other through an IM box and through texting more than us hearing each other's voice. Think about it. And this is how we're becoming distant with each other. I mean, let there be a happy medium, you know. If it's just, you know, you're just meeting somebody and you're doing the texting thing, you know, I understand that. But, you know, a lot of folks out here, a lot of saints out here online, Facebook, they don't want to pick up the phone. They don't want to hear your voice. They don't want to meet you in person. They may be down the block, 15 minutes away from where you live. You know, it's just they just want a cyber Christian fellowship relationship with you until you get to heaven. And that is not the type of communication and the type of Christian relationship that Jesus was talking about in the Bible between the church. And then when you base your communication and your fellowship, I understand. Well, Darren, you know, I can't be everywhere. I understand. Neither can I. Well, Darren, this person is in Europe. I understand that. Use the internet. If it costs too much to hear their voice. But why would you want to listen to their cyber voice over their real voice? Why would I want to hear your cyber voice, my sister, over the vocal cords that the Lord has put, you know, in your throat, and you know, for you to speak? I would rather want to listen to your voice than and hear your voice, hear the sound of your voice, right? The Lord spoke out, and there it was. I would rather hear the sound of your voice than if I can, than hearing your cyber voice. And you say, well, Darren, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Well, it doesn't. You know, it's not a lot of sense to a lot of people out here online. A lot of people out here online are so stuck, Christians are so stuck into this internet, into this Facebook, they do not want, they have the opportunity. It ain't a collect call. It's not $99 to call you. It's free. Toll free. A lot of cell phones are toll free long distance now. Don't want to hear your voice. Maybe a 15, 20-minute drive, a half-hour drive from you, don't want to meet you, but they'll talk to you and text with you every day on Facebook until you get to heaven. But they don't want to hear your voice not one time, don't want to meet you if you're around the block not one time, but they want to talk to you every day through cyber text. Now, you tell me, what type of fellowship is that? Is that supposed to be true, authentic Christian fellowship? In light of the fact that you can do the other two. Now, you know, if you're too far and I can't see you, if you're too far away and I can't see you, and you're too far away to where as though I can't call you because it's going to run up my bill and I need to pay my gas or my electric, then I'll text with you. But, I mean, in a lot of cases, folks are not that far away from each other. A lot of cases, these new smartphones or whatever got toll-free, talk time, whatever. It's not. Folks are not going broke over this stuff, especially if they're spending $500, $600 a month for these phones anyway. I'm going to spend. You know, this is why I got this cheap phone, right? I'm still got this. I tell people I'm going to keep this my cheap phone until the wires fall off, and then I'll get another one. Okay, if I want to spend $500, $600 a month, why do I want to text you? If I'm spending $300, $400, $500 a month on a cell phone bill, I want to hear your voice. Boy, I tell you. All right. All right. So the two most important types of communication between man and God and between human beings. All right. So communication is more than just our ability. It's more than just our ability to talk, but to listen as well. Right. So we want to be good talkers and good listeners. All right. So we want to go over to Romans 10:17, and when you get time. You know, those are God's primary ways of communication with us, which is through his word, Romans 10:17, by the Holy Spirit, John 14:26. Remember when I said in the very beginning that the highest is spirit to spirit? You know, oh my goodness, you are in California and I'm in Philadelphia. How miraculous would it be if I could text you on Facebook and tell you what you said to me through my spirit. I'm gonna stop right there. That's just amazing right there. All right. So God speaks to believers through the Bible, right? And we need to be equipped for the Christian life, right? All right. So in order to understand this type of communication, we need to diligently read, study, memorize, and meditate. Okay. If you ever run across a Christian who is in their word, I mean in. I'm not talking about this casual Facebook stuff. I'm not saying that it's bad. You know, wherever you can get the word, get it. But if you ever meet a Christian that is truly in, I mean they are in. They are in it, Jack. In that word. They ain't going to be typing to you on no IM box for half hour, 20 minutes, a couple hours. They ain't going to be doing that. They want to hear your voice. They want to hear the words of life come out your mouth, whether it's face-to-face or on the phone. They may play around for a second or two, but I'm talking about in it. They are in it. They know that that word has to be spoken out, and that cyber speaking ain't going to get it. That speaking the word out through the cyber, that ain't going to get it. That's immaterial. It's the internet. It's your computer. It's your phone. These things are immaterial. I'm not saying that it doesn't edify. We can't use these resources to edify each other, but we're supposed to be speaking the word out. Like you hear it out of my voice. I'm supposed to be hearing it out of yours. We're supposed to be speaking it out into existence, not typing stuff out into existence. Supposed to be speaking the word. God spoke the word. And the world was formed and everything else and everything in existence came about. God spoke. We are to be speaking the word out. And one of the reasons why we need to tell the Christians to wash their mouth is because their mentality is not of a spiritual talk. It's of a cyber talk. Cyber talk does not have life. You can type words that mean life, but cyber talk does not speak out life. It's cyber. We are the ones that speak out life through the vocal cords that God has given us. And I believe that if we do that more as a church, now I'm going universal, then the less we will have to say about watch your mouth. Because a lot of us are not going to speak words out of our mouth and tear down as quickly as we would online, where we just don't think nothing of it. We'll speak unwholesome words and cuss people out in a second online because we're just typing it. It's a lot to think about in this world we're living in. So we have to, when we have lack in communication, it's not from God's inability to provide, but it's from our lack of diligence to ask, or we are asking the wrong motives. James chapter 4. When we're lacking something, what are you lacking? Are you lacking the ability for wholesome speech? Or are you lacking the ability for holy speech? I mean, you just have none, or you're struggling with it. Or, you know, I understand we all fall from time to time. But I'm talking about, it's like this thing is really, really like a stumbling block in your Christian walk. When we lack something, it's not from God's inability to provide, but it's from our lack of diligence to ask him and keep asking him to teach us until we get it right. To be receptive, to open up to him until we get it right. Or to ask that our wrong motives be changed. You find that a lot in relationships. So we want to pray feverishly. I'll use that word. Fervently, feverishly. We want to pray communication with the Father. Pray continually. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5. 17. We also should be, of course, communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. However God is leading you to do that, we need to do it. Sometimes I think that we're so caught up in our own relationships that we forget about the gospel relationship. So us as Christians, we should be constantly we should constantly be seen between each other as Christians as an example of good speech and good communication. No undertones, no underminings, no sarcasm. We should never, ever, ever allow the safety of a computer screen. We should never, ever, ever allow the safety of a computer screen, whether it's on your desktop, your laptop, or the computer screen on your cell phone, that display screen on your cell phone, we should never allow the safety of a computer screen to lead us to harsh or ungodly words towards each other. I tell folks all the time, stop hiding behind your cell phone. Stop hiding behind your desktop or your laptop. Build true fellowship relationships. But, you know, Darren, I want to, but I just can't take my heart being broke no more. I just can't trust these. You know, I understand they're my brothers, my sisters, but I just can't trust it. And we can go around the street all day long. It's just abuse, right? Some form of abuse. Well, that's no excuse. Because I've been hurt too. I'm pretty sure when you go to Sunday service, your pastor behind the pulpit, I'm pretty sure he or she has been hurt too. But they're still up there every Sunday preaching and teaching. So you can't use abuse and hurt no matter how bad it is. And I would hope that everyone who you come in contact with sympathizes with what you're going through and prays for you and has heart for you, but you can't use that as an excuse not to fellowship or to use harsh or ungodly words against every man or every woman. Don't be a man hater or a woman hater, a race hater, gender hater, whatever. You can't use that as you can't use personal things that happen to your life as an excuse. You have to rise above that. Jesus, who lives within you, the Holy Spirit lives within you as a Christian. You know the saying, greater is he who is in me than what? Well, he that is in the world, but also what I'm going through in my relationships and what I went through and even what I'm going to go through that I haven't gone through yet, greater is he is in me than all that. So simply withholding words, going down the block a little bit more, simply withholding words also is meaningless. When your body language, if you can, if you are in each other's environment. This may be at work. This may be at church. How many Christians in church on Sundays withhold words from each other, but their body language communicates anger and hatred and division? You rolling your eyes and neck rolling and neck popping and eye rolling. And you know what I'm talking about. Watch your mouth, brother. Well, watch your disposition, too. Watch your mouth, sister. Watch your disposition, too. So, this is what we need to keep, and we need to keep mindful of these things. So, when we're online and we're engaged, we are online and we're engaged in a conversation with people. I'm going to leave you with this. And it's not just with you being on Facebook and online, but it's also obviously being in the real world. But don't forget that just because you're online, don't say to yourself, well, this doesn't apply, because it does apply. You're going to be judged. God is going to pull out of our lives every single word that we have spoken, thought that we have thought, and actions that we have taken. They're all going to be judged, even for those online. So don't think that you, just because the person that you're ripping online for whatever reason, for race or for gender or for whatever, don't think that you're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be accountable for that. So when you're engaged in conversations online and you're prepared to speak and type in that little comment box and hit that enter button, before you hit that enter button or that button that sends your comments to somebody's wall, ask yourself this question, these three questions. Is what I'm about to send, is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? I'll say this again. You may want to go to your Facebook walls and post this right now for somebody that you know needs to hear this, because they're always cussing and fussing, causing division and being dogmatic and down the block, dilly-bopping around the block, the tree all day, night long, and causing a whole bunch of hell online. Okay? You may want to keep this in mind for somebody that you're about to run into in the church next Sunday or midweek Bible study or whatever, somebody at your job. It doesn't matter, offline or online, to ask yourself before you open up your mouth or before you hit that enter button on your cell phone or your computer, ask yourself these three questions so you don't come in violation. Ask yourself, if what I'm about to say or post, is it true? Going over to Exodus 20. Is it kind? Going over to Titus 3. Is it necessary? Going over to Proverbs 11. All right, so that's a good format. Every single time you are about to say a word out of your mouth in person, or you're about to drop it in a comment box before you hit that enter button, Is what I'm about to say or post, is it true? And going over to Exodus 20. What I'm about to say or what I'm about to post, is it kind? Going over to Titus 3. Is what I'm about to say, what I'm about to post before I hit this enter button, is it necessary? Going over to Proverbs 11. Reread it again. Now, mind you, there are going to be some things that we post that people are just not going to like. It doesn't mean that it's not necessary. It doesn't mean that it's not true or it's not kind. But people are not going to like it anyway. We preach and teach the gospel to the world, but they still sent Jesus to the cross. Or should I say, you know what I mean by that. Jesus came preaching and teaching the kingdom of God to the world, but the world still sent him to the cross. What Jesus preached and teach to the world was true, it was kind, and it was necessary, but they still said, you know what, we don't want it, and they still nailed him to the cross. Okay? So as Christians, what do you think is going to happen to us, even when we're talking to other Christians? I could be talking, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. I could be saying something to you, I'm going to post on your page something that is true, something that is kind, and something that is necessary, and you just look at me and tell everybody else online or in the church, oh, Darren, oh, get away from him. He talking from the devil. Just because you don't want to hear what's true, you don't feel like hearing a kind word because you don't agree with what was true, so the kind part is out, and thus you don't think it's necessary. You see how all those tie together? Just based on the fact that you don't think it's true for whatever reason. That could be biblical illiteracy. You're not saturated with the word. You're under false pretense, out of context, and precept. It could be a whole range of things going on in your life. So we can't, don't trip over that. You just make sure that what you say and what you post is true, is kind, and necessary. Okay? Let God handle the people who will take it or not take it, because he's going to handle them anyway. When you stand before the Lord, it's just going to be you. Okay. Well, Lord, I didn't say this because they're going to come at me. No. Well, that's compromise of my word. Well, they was going to delete me, and all my, I'm not going to have no more friends left. So I didn't speak what was true, necessary, and kind. Oh, really? You deny me, so what do you think I'm going to do to you? Okay? So once again, speak what is true. Speak what is kind. Speak what is necessary. And if everybody did that, we wouldn't have to say to each other, watch your mouth, my brother, or my sister, in the body of Christ. All right, folks, that is a wrap. It's been good. We've been blessed. Take it off tonight's broadcast off of my Facebook timeline and share it if you like. And Lord willing, we'll see you back again here on the UIC Radio Network. I'm Darren Chapman. Have a good night.